Hey folks, thanks for watching The Hot Zone. Today I'm going to play for you an extended version of a CBN piece I just made about the accountability process that is in place for aid that comes from the United States. A lot of people have questions about that aid, where it's going, is it getting where it's supposed to go, why are we spending so much money over here? And I just wanted to point out some things very quickly. Number one, we're not spending as much money here as you think we are, because both sides, Democrat and Republican, are using the numbers to lie to you for their own political gains. There is a difference between the amount of money that has been pledged, the amount of money that's been allocated, and the amount of money that's been spent. The amount of money that's been pledged is over $90 billion. The amount of money that's been allocated is something like, $18 billion. The money that's been actually spent, though, here in Ukraine is under $8 billion from the United States alone, now not including the other partners. And that $8 billion represents about 1% of the Pentagon's budget in any given year. And think of what we've gotten for that now. We've gotten a laboratory to test our equipment against our enemies, our adversaries' equipment, and we've shown that it's been far and away better. We've gotten training for our troops on new forms of warfare. We've gotten a look at what the future of warfare is going to look like, and that will be very valuable going forward if our leaders are smart enough to take advantage of it. And we have obviously helped knock down the enemy, or knock down the Russian army a couple of pegs. Think about that. I mean, for every artillery shell that we send over here that takes out an artillery piece in Russia, that's one more artillery piece that Russia has to build, or one less that we have to build. So one artillery shell is actually saving the United States money in that way. A HIMARS unit that takes out a bunch of military trucks or a bunch of military generals or something like that, that saves the United States money going forward, because in this arms race that we're always in with our adversaries, it's one less thing we've got to worry about. And we're getting rid of a lot of the weapons and ammunition and stuff that was getting obsolete anyway, even the HIMARS. They were talking about replacing the HIMARS with a newer weapon system. And a lot of those things, you know, are sort of at the end of their life cycle. And so we're using up old ammunition, even from Vietnam era, and we'll be making new ammunition to replace it. So that'll be a boon for the U.S. economy. We're also getting a lot of our NATO allies to go away from Soviet-era weaponry and buy American weaponry. That'll be good for the American economy down the road. I'm not saying that this war is a good thing. It's not a good thing. But there are silver linings to this cloud. And so take a look at this piece that I just finished making. This is an extended cut that you won't see anywhere else about the accountability process.
Since the beginning of March, the U.S. has pledged close to $70 billion in military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine to help it defend against Russia's unprovoked attack. While that might sound like a lot, much of it is slated to be spent in future years, all the way out to 2030.
There's a lag between the time that Congress appropriates funds and the time when those funds actually get spent. The year up to September 30th, that totaled about $8 billion that had actually been spent of the total $68 billion that had been appropriated.
When it comes to dollars, the U.S. government hasn't pledged and given, I think, large cash contributions in a manner that people might think they have. And so I think what you're caught in between is you do have this public trust, and you have the media all over Ukraine that's reporting, and you've got international press that are allowed to come in through the Western gate, if you will, and report on whatever they want. And so I haven't seen anything that's been closed to the public besides a couple items, as I mentioned, that were exposed military vulnerabilities. And I've seen the gear and equipment that we've promised shipped through Poland. I've watched it in Poland in some areas, especially on trains and other locations. And then I've seen it in Ukraine itself. So
if there were abuses reported, if abuses were identified, that would undermine the bipartisan consensus that we've had so far about providing aid to Ukraine.
I traveled to the front lines to see where all this aid is going. My escort was Andrew Gota, one of President Zelensky's advisors.
We want to be open and transparent. We're ready for any control, any extra control, for any special officers that can came to us to check the situation.
Gota regularly travels to gauge what's needed on the front line. Then he approaches charities in the U.S. that can help.
I should fill some application. What I need exactly, how much of these devices I need, and for whom. Who is end user of these devices. After the USA charity organizations approved my request, we had another level of control on the border. So our Customs and Border Protection Service will check these documents and will check the end user of this device. So we have multi-level control of even for the humanitarian aid. You can imagine what kind of control we have for the heavy weapon.
I've seen public accountability in their newspapers and in their media. I've seen the times that there have been corruption or items that have been pointed out. There's been a very big article that was written about the International Legion and one of their commanders, and all of their press has been commensurate with our own.
I've been covering this conflict here in Ukraine since about 3 weeks before the war started back in February. And in that time, I've learned a lot about the Ukrainian people. They're, first of all, they're very patriotic, really love their country. But more than that, they see this conflict as something a lot larger than just between Ukraine and Russia. As a matter of fact, the aid that they're receiving, they believe is less of a handout and more of a partnership.
It's not a charity to support Ukraine. We are not asking this money. We are trying to protect freedom, democracy of all civilized world. I think that the problem which Russia created for all civilized wars and the price which other country pay supporting Ukraine is incomparable. To cure this disease is to help Ukraine to win this war.
So far, there has been scant evidence of corruption in the process.
We don't see much weapon in the black market, for example, because everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to fight with the enemy.
So they're under war terms right now, and no one wants to see, including their own citizens, no one wants to see things being wasted because they're fighting for their very existence.
The military assistance Ukraine received is making the difference between success and failure on the battlefield, especially in the early days of the conflict.
This American aid, 155 millimeters, 155 calibers, saved Kyiv, that's true. If we got some aid from the USA, from other country, of course we spread it immediately. Mm-hmm. We spread it immediately to the front line.
Ukrainian soldiers often bring up Afghanistan and ask Andrew whether the U.S. will abandon them as well. They're concerned that if support ended now, Ukraine's recent victories could quickly be reversed and people's suffering multiplied.
I think that the situation is a challenge because of winter, which is already in Ukraine. It's already freezing temperatures. So in response to that, the United States is going to continue to do everything we possibly can, working night and day to provide help on winterization needs, to provide as much air defense and other security assistance as possible, and to also help Ukraine repair its energy infrastructure so people aren't in the cold and dark and without water.
Either way, Ukrainians are committed to fighting to the end.
We don't stop. We never stop. Winter, summer, spring, autumn, fall, we don't stop. We will fight every day, every hour, at night, during the day.
From Kyiv, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN News.
Okay, folks, thanks for watching, and I appreciate all of you that have followed me throughout this journey this year. When the year started, I never imagined that I'd be spending 6 months in Ukraine. I never imagined there'd be a land war in Europe, and this has been the closest thing that I probably will ever come in my lifetime to covering something like World War II. And it's like World War II with drones. It's a new form of warfare. Fascinating to be here. It's been frustrating and exhilarating and exciting and very, very interesting. I've met some amazing people, made some very good friends over here, and we've been able to help a lot of people going out to the front lines. And you're part of that. You who send money to the podcast, we try to take that money and use it to help people who are in need wherever we go. In the coming year, I'm going to go home now. Here tomorrow, I'm going to leave and go back to the United States. I'm going to spend Christmas with my family and my two new grandchildren. And then I'm going to take about a month off and just rest up, get back in shape, and write a little bit and think about what we're going to do in the new year. And there are lots of places around the world where there are conflicts. There's never any shortage of mayhem for a war correspondent to cover. So stay tuned, and you'll be part of it. Thanks a lot.